In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, August 17th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Secretary of State John Kerry traveled to Havana, Cuba Friday and took part in the historic opening of a U.S. embassy. Marines raised an American flag as Kerry addressed the crowd in both English and Spanish, symbolizing the end of 54 years of Cold War. The Obama administration moved ahead with the normalization of relations with the brutal regime without the U.S. Congress removing the five-decade-old trade embargo. GOP presidential hopefuls, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush and Florida Senator Marco Rubio, son of Cuban immigrants, made it obvious they were not pleased. Rubio said, "The fact that dissidents were not allowed to the event underscored it as, quote, little more than a propaganda rally for the Castro regime," unquote. Bush called it a, quote, sad day, unquote, since Cuba refused to make changes in the treatment of their people and the U.S. got nothing out of the deal. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson says he's ending his state's funding to Planned Parenthood, despite the fact that Obama administration health officials are warning other states doing the same that they could be violating the law. On Friday, the Republican governor announced his state was terminating its Medicaid provider contract with the embattled abortion provider in response to the widely seen videos exposing their callousness and disregard for life by making baby body parts available on the open market. Kayla Mueller, an American woman captured and held hostage by ISIS for more than a year and a half, was repeatedly raped by the terror group's leader before being killed. On Friday, Carl Mueller, the woman's father, told reporters the horrific news on what would have been her 27th birthday. A 14-year-old Yazidi girl, held hostage with her, escaped the home of ISIS leader Abu Bakr Baghdadi. She told Delta Force members that Kayla shielded other younger girls time and again from Baghdadi. Baghdadi was killed back in June by a U.S. drone strike. First Baptist Church of Greenville, South Carolina, known as the home of the first president of the Southern Baptist Convention, publicly announced homosexual and transgender preachers are now welcome in their pulpit. Senior pastor Jim Dant said, after a six-month exploratory time, they asked their members to affirm homosexual unions, but allowed those who would not to remain part of the church. Pastors, remember, Paul warned in Acts 20:28-30, you should pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock to which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. For fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Guess what? Those days have clearly come. The 19,000-foot-tall volcano Cotopaxi, near Ecuador's capital city of Quito, began spewing ash 3 miles high on Friday, and officials put the country on yellow alert. Japan's Sakurajima volcano showed increased activity as well on Saturday. Residents on Kyushu Island, where the volcano is located, were told to get ready to evacuate. Japanese Emperor Akihito expressed, for the first time publicly, his deep remorse over Japan's role in World War II. At a ceremony held in Tokyo on Saturday, commemorating 70 years since Japan's surrender to Allied forces, the Emperor said, quote, "I attend this memorial ceremony with a deep and renewed sense of sorrow. I earnestly hope that the ravages of war will never be repeated," unquote. Social Security turned 80 on Friday, prompting the embattled Hillary Clinton to tweet out a humorous jab at the GOP, saying, quote, "Congrats on reaching what some Republicans think should be the retirement age," unquote. It's that time of year again. North Korea issued threats at the United States if they continue with plans to conduct annual military exercises with South Korea. Every year, North Korea issues the same threats. But this time, they say they are more powerful than ever and will retaliate with, quote, tremendous muscle, unquote.
The United States should understand that if the old chief Freedom Guardian is executed, then their mainland won't be safe. We are not the same military force from before. We've become stronger, and we were able to fight against United States.
North Korea also began using a new time zone Saturday, 30 minutes behind what it has been and what the world clock says it should be. We have always known they were behind the times. I guess now it's official. Christian holy men may be out of fashion in a lot of places, but not in Italy. A CD released by a group of monks from the ancient city of Norcia, who sing 5 hours a day praising God from the Psalms, is topping the Billboard music charts. The CD is called Benedicta. Psalm 150, verse 6 reminds us, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And that's The Worldview on this Monday, August 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado with a distinctively biblical worldview as best as we can incorporate it into their curriculum. And we try to take things from a distinctively biblical perspective on this program, too. Steve Vaughn with me in studio, homeschool father of six. And Steve, you know, one of the things that bothers me before we get to what I really want to talk about today is we do a lot of research on Christian news websites for our Worldview in 5 Minutes program. And wow, these Christian news organizations, I can't understand why they've got to have the homosexual and sexually suggestive ads on their news sites over on the right side, you know, coming down. They're homosexual suggestive. They might have a story that's kind of, you know, cautionary about the gay lifestyle. But then we've got something that's suggestive of homosexuality over on the right side, and how to make any woman obsess over you. I just read that a day or two ago. You know, imagine that on a Christian website, how to make any woman obsess over me.
Wow. I thought you could have a site that didn't have those. Can't you pay for that? I guess you have to pay extra for that. Maybe it's because
we don't have it on our sites.
Yeah.
As far as I know. Yeah. I go to our sites. I don't see these ads, and certainly we don't sell ads.
Yeah.
And of course, one of the things they need is advertisement to keep them in business. That's the only way that news organizations stay in business. And the only way in which a Worldview in 5 Minutes program can stay in business as we do is by the blood, sweat, and tears of donors. We're willing, you know, to step up and say, hey, we're willing to have a distinctively biblical website and a biblical approach to the news without all of these salacious ads. And my guess is it is the salacious stories on Fox News that draws people in. If they were to, you know, take a look at their number of clicks, there's going to be more clicks on the bikini clad woman on the lower right-hand side of the website than there will be on some serious news story up here. And that's what keeps them in business.
Right. And Google does collect all of that. They collect all the clicks and things like that. And whatever you click on, so if you're clicking on those, then they're going to show up in ads. I remember when I was building a pulpit for our church and I was looking at pulpit designs and things like that. Everywhere I went on Google, it would have a pulpit, you know, seller advertisement, which is fine. I'd rather have pulpit sellers than bikini clad women.
Right. But the point is that you've got to be careful with what you do with the news and with the internet. And what we want to do with this Worldview in 5 Minutes program is create something wholly different. Fox News and I'm sorry, but most of the conservative news organizations are not going to bring out a biblical perspective on things. You will not hear a Bible verse in the middle of it. I don't want to talk about an EPA story dumping 50 billion tons of material of toxic materials into the Animas River without referring to Exodus 21 and the compensation that God requires. Why? Because it's important to bring God's word to bear to contextualize the story. When you hear our news program, you're not going to find more random events in a causeless universe. I'm sorry. We're going to talk about the providence of God. And the worldview taught in journalist classes, journalist universities, and the worldview that is really supported by most, quote unquote, journalism out there, most news journalism outlets will be no mention of God, no mention of the providence of God. The assumption underlying is two causes, man and a naturalistic, materialistic, causalist universe. That's the assumption of 99% of the news, including much Christian news out there. I have not found another news source that recognizes the providence of God when reporting on the news on events that have happened. I just don't read of it much. So friends, if you hear our news program, you're going to hear about the providence of God. You're going to hear verses. You're going to not hear anything about gay marriage. You're going to hear references to the unnatural relations of man and man. Why did we use the unnatural relations of man with man instead of the gay word or the homosexual word? We use that sometimes. Why do we tend to move towards phrases like the unnatural relations of man with man? Because that's what you read in Romans 1. He who defines wins. So the kind of news that you listen to, the kind of language used, will ultimately have an impact upon people's minds and eventually their lives. If you want to make significant impact on people, then you bring out Bible verses, use biblical language, use references to the providence of Almighty God in the events that occur in the world. You're going to mention the Lord Jesus Christ as being preeminent over all things. Why? Because he is. Because that's precisely the way we do receive him if we're Christians. All very, very rarely do I hear Christ mentioned as preeminent over all things on Fox News.
Yeah, when you hear the name Jesus Christ, it's usually not used in reverence.
That's right. Well, the Worldview in 5 Minutes program, very unique. And I know we don't have many listening at this point. Encourage your friends and family members to tune in to a news program that gives you the entire world in 5 minutes. And we hit something like 10 or 12 stories quickly with a distinctively biblical flavor throughout. Friends, this, I believe, is unique. I think it's something needed, desperately needed by leaders, by pastors, by fathers, by mothers, by families, Christian families across this country and around the world. Be sure that you have people tuned into these things. Of course, we also prioritize the news by putting what we believe Jesus would put first at the very front of the news, typically persecuted saints around the world. Friends, we take it from a distinctively biblical perspective when we bring the news. It's prioritized biblically. We use biblical language. We use biblical concepts. We use biblical verses. It's the Worldview in 5 minutes every day. It takes a staff of 8 to pull this thing together, including two of my children. Rebecca and Emily are very faithful. Rebecca is probably one of the most dependable people. Does some of the most quality work of anybody I've ever worked with. At points, I've had hundreds of employees working for me in the corporate world. My daughter, my 20-year-old daughter, Rebecca Joy, is amazing, clearly amazing in the kind of work she's done. I've had no complaints to speak of in 2 years working with her in the editing work that she does for the program. And my daughter, Emily, is unbelievably reliable when she pulls together the stories each and every day for us. She does most of the research, most of the interviews, along with Jesse Gomez. She's done something like 140 interviews in just the last 4 to 5 months. We're talking about interviews with the presidents of some of the largest Christian organizations in the world. It is amazing the kind of stuff my daughter at 22 years of age has had lots and lots of opportunities to speak to lots and lots of people. And oftentimes she prays with the missionaries and the persecuted saints that she speaks with in other nations around the world. All right, my friends, that's the Worldview in 5 minutes, available on this webcast every single day, Monday through Friday. This is Generations Radio Broadcast, and we'll be back in just a moment with a very important topic. We're going to talk about what John MacArthur said about Obergefell in just a moment.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the presidential forum, and the presidential straw poll. Your family, your church's future, hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, in Elizabeth, and Steve Vaughn is an elder of a church down in Parker, Colorado. Yeah. All right, my friends, today I want to take a look at what John MacArthur said about Obergefell, a sermon that he gave, I believe, July 19th, just about a month ago. He gave a sermon called We Will Not Bow. I like John MacArthur for a couple of reasons, not just because he endorsed my book at the pastor's conference, The Tattoo Jesus.
That did help.
That helps, yeah. But I do have to say that, you know, we complain sometimes about what's happening with evangelicalism, but I've known a number of pastors, probably 4 to 5 pastors who've gone through master's seminary, and they're pastoring, they're faithful men. Generally speaking, the fruit I see coming out of John MacArthur's work has been fruitful. It's impressive. It's good. It's solid. It's yielding more fruit. It's not compromising, conceding away, and creating a squishy-wishy Christianity. I'm not seeing this with John MacArthur as I see with others. So there's a positive here. We appreciate John MacArthur and some of the things. Not to say that we agree with every single thing that he has said, but, you know, overall, is he producing good fruit? At points, I believe he is, and I appreciate that for that. And he's also got a recent sermon that I think is helpful. Speaking of Obergefell, we will not bow. And again, I love that. You know, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow when the foreigners were running the show and were forcing them to bow to the statism of the day. We're not going to bow either. But he also talks a little bit about sexuality without children. He sees this to be kind of a root issue with Obergefell. I think it's interesting. It's a good angle to take on Obergefell. For those of you who don't know Obergefell, it's as important as Dred Scott and Roe v. Wade, so you better wake up. It will change the nation as we know it. So please understand what happened 2 months ago with the neuronic agenda, the approval of homosexual marriage, and the launching of a massive persecution against Christians. But he says the root of this is sexuality without children. And of course, there have been, 500 manifestations of sexuality without kids. From the huge increase of pornography, online pornography, and 97% of boys over 13 years of age are into it, or whatever it is right now. I have a hard time keeping up with it. But the massive increase in pornography, sexuality without relationships, sexuality without kids, masturbation, birth control, of course, homosexuality. It's all connected.
Yeah.
The point he makes is that it's all connected. And he says, this is a quote again from John MacArthur, the Obergefell decision is not about same-sex marriage. He says, this is about the total obliteration of the family. Strong language.
Yeah, that's very strong. But I agree with him that they want to get rid of the family, because if you get rid of the strong family, you get rid of the strong church, you get rid of strong government, strong anything.
Yeah, and it is. It's effectively the erosion of the very fundamental foundations of society, and that's why I talk about the breakdown of civilization. Some people think I may be using hyperbole here. I don't believe I am. At the point at which you have totally obliterated the family, John MacArthur's words here, guess what happens to society and civilization, friends? Now, it's true, Russia suffered something of the obliteration of the family, because that was Karl Marx's agenda. Now they're trying to recover it. They are. They're trying to recover something of the family. In Russia, but I don't know if they're ever going to succeed at it, because they've already taken the major hit. Now, of course, Christians ought to somehow protect themselves from this kind of thing by attending family conferences, homeschool conferences, and churches that retain some respect for the family and create high walls against the social destructive forces around them. Okay, but we're way off topic now. Again, John MacArthur says that this has been the total obliteration of the family, so that there will be no family, no more covenants, no more private sovereign units that stand up against the corruption. If you go back to contraception, you go back to where this all began. So wow. He goes right back to contraception. Go back through contraception. Now, when contraception comes in, you have sex without children. For the first time, the greatest restraint against having sex is eliminated. John MacArthur, surprising language from this man. So is this the root of it? Is it the hatred of children? Is it the rejection of the blessing of children? As the very, very root of Obergefell? Could very well be. Back in 1934. The Southern Baptists gave a resolution on birth control. My guess is they probably wouldn't repeat this resolution today, but I would encourage them to bring back something of a resolution like this. Again, you know, the sad thing with the Christian church is they often run out there and clip the rotten fruit, but they don't want to go to the roots.
Mm-hmm.
They want to clip the rotten fruits. They don't like Obergefell. They don't like homosexual marriage, at least for the time being, until they get used to it 20 years later. But they don't go back to the roots. And they got to go back to the roots, my friends. This is so important, I believe. And the roots have to do with things like this. The Southern Baptist Convention came out with a resolution in 1934 in Fort Worth, Texas. And this is what it read. The Southern Baptist Convention hereby expresses its disapproval of the Hastings Bill, now pending in the Congress of the United States, the purpose of which is to make possible and provide for the dissemination of information concerning contraceptives and birth control. Whatever the intent and motive of such proposal, we cannot but believe that, here it is, such legislation on contraception would be vicious in character and would prove seriously detrimental to the morals of our nation. All right.
Wow.
Pretty intense, huh?
That is. So at one time then, the Baptist Church was against contraception, just like the Catholic churches are now.
Yeah, they were against it. And, you know, I'm not sure they were drawing distinctions here between the abortifacients and the non-abortifacients, but they never really did.
Yeah.
The evangelicals never really did. Here's some statistics. These are recent statistics. Turns out evangelicals are worse than Catholics on this one.
Wow.
And they're worse than modernists. They're the very, very worst. So you want to go to the very, very worst when it comes to the use of abortifacients in this country. It's not the Catholics. It's not the liberal Protestants. Not the modernists. Not the far, far left PCUSA pro-evolution, pro-homosexual crowd. No, no, it's the evangelicals. Evangelicals are big-time abortifacients. 68% of Catholic women use abortifacients, 73% of mainline Protestants, and 74% of evangelicals. So evangelicals take the cake on this one, my friends. Evangelicals more enthusiastic about using abortifacients than their Catholic and modernist friends. Now, why is this? I think, Steve, it may have something to do, and we should back up and just say that abortifacients are the IUDs. They're the pills. They're the hormonal changes that create a hazardous condition in the fallopians and the womb itself.
Right. And every pill, birth control pill, because there is breakthrough ovulation that happens. I mean, that's going to happen on a certain percentage of the time. And therefore, when breakthrough ovulation happens and that egg is fertilized, then a hazardous environment is created in the womb so it won't implant, so there is an abortion, because once it's conceived, it's a child.
You have stronger odds, way stronger odds that child's not going to make it. Why? Because the mother and or the father purposefully created a hazardous environment for the child in the womb, which, by the way, should not be hazardous.
Right.
Does that make sense that a womb should not be hazardous?
Yeah. And in fact, the Bible even speaks about a hazardous.
Yeah. What if you put barbed wire around a crib?
That would be.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you put it because you wanted to keep them in the crib, but, you know, occasionally the baby would roll up into the barbed wire and she'd be screaming the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, does everybody understand that you don't put barbed wire in cribs?
Yeah.
Why would you put a hazardous condition in a womb?
But see, I think it's more than that. I mean, if you're doing, if rather than barbed wire, you're doing barbed wire that is legal, that's lethally electric.
Or has some kind of toxic substance.
Right.
So on the tips.
Because you don't want the baby to make it.
Yeah.
And so the abortifacient makes it so that there is no implantation most of the time. And in fact, if you look at what the statistics could be, the abortifacient pill and the IUD could have a higher death rate than the surgical abortions that are happening.
Do you remember that Far Side cartoon where the father and mother are in this living room, the baby is crawling across the living room floor, and they got a snake pit right in the middle?
Yeah.
And the father is saying, whoa, honey, stop, the baby's getting near the snake pit. Now, see, again, why would someone put a snake pit in the middle of the living room? It's just not wise.
Right.
That's a hazardous condition.
Yeah.
Okay, don't do it. And of course, what ties into this is Lex Talionis. Lex Talionis is something very, very important put in Exodus 21. Simply an eye for eye, tooth for a tooth, life for life, but referred, the context presented was a hazardous condition for a child in the womb.
Right.
See, that was the whole reason for it. It's interesting that 4,000 years ago, God had the wisdom to put that into the Word of God, because the Word of God is there to equip the man of God for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Friends, here, in the Lex Talionis, it's all about creating the hazardous condition under which a miscarriage occurs. and it requires a civil penalty. Now, my logic, arguing from the greater to the lesser, is if it is a criminal activity for that to happen, then using the general equity of that law, wouldn't it make sense that you ought not to create a hazardous condition in the womb for a child? Would that not be a sin if it was considered a crime in the Old Testament, friends? Certainly evangelicals ought to pick up on this kind of stuff, but they're not making a whole lot of progress on it. 90% of Christian leaders approve of abortifacient hormonal systems of birth control, according to a poll conducted in 2009 by the National Association of Evangelicals. I just don't think Randy Alcorn's making a lot of progress on this one. Randy Alcorn has helped probably more than anybody else on this issue, and appreciate the man. Mark Driscoll argued that even on Focus on the Family, the Christian Medical and Dental Associations are undecided on the issue. As a result, it seems legalistic and inappropriate to declare that use of the pill is sinful. I'm just not sure that Mark Driscoll is the go-to guy for ethics these days.
Yeah, probably
after
not.
After his fall, he said that back in like 2010 or something. But whatever the case is, they're saying Focus on the Family is a little squishy on this. The Christian Medical and Dental Association is squishy on this, but not the Physician's Desk reference and not the FDA warnings on every single, pill and every single abortifacient that's provided.
Yeah, unroll that little thing and read it.
Start to read it, Read the FDA warnings. Read the Physician's Desk reference. I'm not asking about whether some squishy Christian organization has taken a squishy position on it. I'm asking, does the Physician's Desk reference and the FDA warnings provide for this concern that hazardous conditions may be put through the womb and the fallopians by the use of these abortifacients, these IUDs? All right. Well, the biblical principles on these, I think, are obvious. I've used the Lex Talionis. Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, what part of that do you have a trouble with? You know, these children are a blessing. You're supposed to love people. You're not supposed to kill them or create hazardous conditions for them. Is this obvious? To love your neighbor as yourself means you don't put barbed wire around the womb or around the inside of a crib? Isn't that part of loving your neighbor?
Yeah, you would think so. And your baby is more than just your neighbor. Your baby is dependent upon you for life. And the purpose of the pill is to, if you do not, to prevent ovulation, but if there is breakthrough ovulation, the purpose is to create the hazardous condition in the womb so that it won't implant. It's not a possibility. It is a direct result, and it is the purpose of the pill.
Jesus loved children. Jesus loves children. I think we should, too. I think we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Christians should desire godly seed and appreciate the blessings. If God calls children a blessing, then we need to call that a blessing, too. The world redefines ethics for us, but let's go to the Word of God. The Bible actually says if you've got a society with a birth implosion happening, if you've got a society in which your children are turning into homosexuals, if you've got a society in which everybody's in debt up to the eyeballs, you are one of the most cursed societies that has ever existed. That the Bible defines it that way. Of course, the world says kids, homosexuals, killing kids right and left, using their body parts for fun things. We're in debt up to our eyeballs, et cetera, et cetera. That's the most blessed society we've ever experienced in the whole extent of mankind. But you see, you have two different perspectives there, don't you? And again, friends, are you going to use the Word of God to define those perspectives in Deuteronomy 27:28, or are you going to use the humanist perspective that we all have been taught by the media and by education over the last 50, 60, 70 years of our lives? Christians should desire a godly seed. Jesus said, "He that would come after me should deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And that involves children, a huge, huge portion of us, our fathers and mothers. We are called to this by marriage, and so if we're just spending our entire life trying to avoid that burden and trying to create a very comfortable lifestyle, that's what the world does all the time. The existentialistic materialists are just saying, living for today, for themselves, that's basically what it's all about. But we're to deny all that. We're to reject all that. We're to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. That's what Jesus did. Jesus dragged a bloody cross all the way to Calvary, and we do the same thing. We follow him all the way. Well, friends, we need the gospel. The love of many has grown cold. That pretty much is what's happened to our world. We kill our kids right and left, create hazardous conditions everywhere. And I'm talking to, 74% of evangelicals in America. I'm talking to 90% of Christian leaders. The love of many has grown cold. really cold, and we are part of the problem, friends. We are part of the problem. Our love is so, so very, very cold. If you haven't seen how cold your love is, you need to get a thermometer and stick it into your love from time to time. Your love has grown cold. So cold, so cold, so cold. But what do we do with this? Well, we turn back to the cross and see a vision of the love of God for us. That's the gospel. The gospel shows us what God did for us. A bunch of cold, hard-hearted wretches. Jesus came down for us, and he just voluntarily did the most spectacular act of love that anybody has ever done in the history of the world, in the history of the universe. Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. Now, let's love him and let's love others. Now, that's what's going to solve the problem here. Evangelicals, they don't love very much because they don't understand the love of God for them. They sinned against him, yet he died for them, atoned, took the wrath of God, and propitiated that for us such that we can now be friends of God. Friends, that's amazing. And that should make you the biggest lover that the world has seen ever since Jesus came. Okay. All right, my friends. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we want to leave it right there on this edition of the program. But also, my book, Keep the Faith on Abortion and Sexuality, wow, this deals with the whole issue of abortifacients and the historical viewpoint on this from 2,000 years of wisdom and the Word of God. What does the Word of God have to say about this? Boy, these are critical issues, and I would say 74% of evangelicals need to buy this book, and the other 26% probably need to get a little background for what they're doing. 100% of evangelicals in America need a copy of Keep the Faith on Sexuality, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. Be sure to get extra copies. It's just a tiny little hardback, 140 pages. It's like 10 bucks. It's really cheap. Get 10 copies. If you want multiple copies, we can give it for half price anytime at generationswithvision.com. Email me at host at kevinswanson.com if you want a special deal on any of our products. That's host at kevinswanson.com. We'll get them to you. My daughter, Bethany, is the sales manager now. She just received that promotion. I think it was this morning at breakfast. Emily said, I'm tired of this. Can we get this to Bethany? And Bethany said, I'd love to be a part of this shipping program. Dad, can I be the shipping director? I said, sure. Here's the business card. So anyway, Bethany is our shipping director, and you can get our products at generationswithvision.com or email me at host at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.